He'll give me that. Hello, this is Brian Reynolds, volunteer with the San Luis Obispo County Library for Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. Today, we are joined by James Snyder, principal of Grover Beach Elementary School, and Petra Reynolds, International Baccalaureate Coordinator of Grover Beach Elementary School. Welcome.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks.
We're going to be talking about the IB, or International Baccalaureate Program. I should self-declare by saying that Petra Reynolds is my daughter-in-law. And so welcome again, Petra.
Thank you.
Either one of you, could you tell me a little bit about the IB program, where it started, and how it came to Grover Beach?
Well, it started for us, it was about 4 or 5 years ago. I actually wasn't at the school when IB started at Grover Beach. I came on about a year after we started that process. And I think about 5 years ago, the school was looking at a way to continue to engage the students at a high level, at a way to bring in the community, bring in the parents. So IB was chosen as a way to do that. And when I came on board as the 2012-13 school year, I was lucky enough to sort of jump on it midstream, get the training I needed to be able to support it. And it's really been incredible for us. And we were authorized. You have to go through a process of a year or two to get authorization. And we were authorized about a year ago.
I was looking on the internet today about international baccalaureate programs, and there's over 3,000 schools worldwide, 140 plus countries. Somebody in Lucia Mar School District must have heard of the program and thought it worthy. Is that how it happened, as far as you know?
Yes, as far as I know. The previous principal of our school is Mr. Juan Olivaria. He's a longtime principal in Lucia Mar, and perhaps that was how it looked for him. Absolutely.
So it's truly an international program, and it's located in little old Grover Beach.
That's right. That's
pretty incredible. Now, Petra, could you tell us about your role? What is your specific role as a coordinator of this program?
So my role as the IB coordinator at Grover Beach is to support the teachers in the program. We get together once a trimester for a whole day, and we revise the plans that we make, because the curriculum is developed by the teachers, which is something that's really unique in an IB program. So the teachers look at the Common Core State Standards that we have and all of the content areas that we teach as a California public school, and then we put it in with the themes that are in the IB program. So I help keep track of all of the IB correspondence with Sweden, and then I also support the teachers with any development of the curriculum that they need, or I come in and help them with the lessons. I work with the kids, just really help maintain the community atmosphere at our school.
When you say the teachers develop their own curriculum, I'm going to ask you sort of two different questions. Do they incorporate IB principles into a pre-established state-approved or district-approved curriculum, or is it truly a creation of their own, out of their own heads and backgrounds, that of course meets standards and policies of the district, but also is entirely based on their understanding of IB and implementation of it? In other words, do they create it from scratch?
Yes, they create it from scratch. So there are 6 transdisciplinary themes, which means they're ideas that go across the curriculum. So it's not just English, or it's not just social studies, or it's not just math. It's a theme that can reach all the curriculum, including our specialists, music and computer lab and PE and the library. We incorporate it all together so that the students are receiving guidance in the theme throughout their day, throughout their classes. And the planners are the tool that we use to create the curriculum. You start with a big idea, and then from that big idea, you develop small tidbits of content that you hope they glean from their exploration, and those are called lines of inquiry. So
the teachers do that.
The teachers do that, and then from their planner is how they implement the curriculum in their classes. So an example would be, like in fourth grade, a standard social studies content area is the 49ers coming to California. That's a basic California social science content standard.
The gold rush.
Yeah, the gold rush and the 49ers and the migration of the people. So in fourth grade in an IB school in California at Grover Beach, we do talk about the 49ers and the migration. But rather than just looking at only California's perspective and only the perspective of the 49ers, we open it up, which is where we get into the multicultural, multi-country, global view. And so rather than looking at just the 49ers and the gold rush, we have the central idea of new opportunities may lead to the need for organization. And that's kind of our blanket idea. And that allows for the teachers and the students to go in many different directions, which is where the student inquiry comes in to the classroom.
So would that be, I'm just trying to understand what you said a moment ago, that the social phenomenon of someone discovering gold in 1848 or 49, and then the subsequent gold rush, which brought a lot of Americans from the East towards California, but also a lot of international people, South America, Europe, et cetera, China. What you're talking about is sort of a sociological response to the discovery of gold, and bits and pieces of that is what the teachers and students would look at?
Yeah, and not even just the discovery of gold, but the other things that are discovered in the past. For instance, spices led people to, or incurred, made people want to go other places, right? The discovery of gold in Alaska made people want to go there. And then also future discoveries that are going to happen. The children are able to relate this idea that when there are new opportunities, it leads to a need for organization, meaning that the 49ers had to create their own boom towns and their laws because there was nothing here. That might happen again. What if we go to Mars, right? Like, we're going to need to have organization there. And so that they can see that this idea that is in a textbook somewhere about Gold Rush and the 49ers is actually applicable to many different areas of our lives.
James, this is not like any education I ever heard of. It's pretty exciting. How is this received throughout the district or throughout the county or from parents? Is everyone enthusiastic, or do you have to do a little bit of selling? How does that work politically, I mean?
I think a little bit of both, but before I hit on that, I just want to, with planning the teachers do, there is sort of a framework that we work from, and Peter was talking about our planner, and I want to reemphasize the central idea: new opportunities may lead to the need for organization. That very simple line is something that our teachers spend a good amount of time sort of culling out. It's the idea that a central idea is sort of, it's a truism. So the idea that no matter where that may be, new opportunities means there needs to be organization, that can be applied to the 49ers, that can be applied to social sciences, it can be applied to science, it can be, so it's just this larger meaty topic, and that's the hard work when we think about the planning that our teachers do. If you can get that one right, then I think the central idea right, then I think all the sort of content will flow from there. So it's really amazing to watch our teachers begin with this seemingly very simple statement, and from that comes new student learning and understanding. And the same way as the students approach the new learning, they have that central idea in mind, and it sort of ties things together as they learn it. So it's really exciting to be a part of the planning for it, and it's further really exciting to watch the students learn from it. With IB, I will certainly say that we spent a good amount of time, and I know before I came to the school, but certainly when I did arrive at the school, talking with our parents, and our parents were a part, as I understand it, when we first looked at IB, they went on some trips with our teachers to see what IB schools look like and what it could mean for our community. We talk about IB on a regular basis with our parents. Our parents will come to me and talk to me about it. So
one-on-one, groups, both?
Both, yeah.
Yeah, we have a IB night We've had it 2 years in a row now, mm-hmm. where we invite the community to come to the school and the teachers give presentations about what IB is. And what's really cool about our IB nights is that the people who attend, such as parents or even our superintendent, Dr. Daly, was there last year, mm-hmm. They get to take on an activity of the students. So they get to feel what it feels like to be mm-hmm. a kid in an IB school for one lesson. And it really opens their eyes to what's different about IB than maybe perhaps the way that they grew up learning in elementary school.
Mm-hmm. And I'll add to that. I mean, if you looked at the way sort of Common Core, the way that sort of California and to a certain extent nationwide were looking at curriculum or teaching and learning, it's becoming more thematic. It's becoming more interwoven and integrated. So what we found is while there are standards that we do clearly have to meet, and there's a very clear definition from our state about what students should be learning at each grade level, and obviously those are things that we're supporting students with learning, it also asks it to take it to that next level. It also asks that students, as we call it, are engaged in project-based learning, are engaged in inquiry and sort of authentic ways of learning new ideas and new material. So we feel fortunate that we have this structure to be able to sort of guide the ever-changing waters of what they may look like as far as new standards and new approaches to teaching and learning.
So you acknowledge and utilize existing standards, but you go a couple of steps beyond that.
Absolutely.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And have you any trend data or indicators that show you're going in the right direction in terms of academic performance or awards or any other kinds of indicators besides just the day-to-day?
Well, the indicator I look at, and I'll look at the end of every year, is the product of the student as they exit our school at the end of a sixth grade, or if they exit from 1 year to the next. And what I mean by that is I look at where are they, not only academically with the data, which we do track and we chart and we're making sure we're aware of the support we're giving our students, but who are they as citizens and how are they giving back and how do they understand the world and the community around them? Our sixth graders do something called exhibition at the end of their sixth grade year. And it's the first year we did it was last year. And it's sort of a capstone for the IB primary years program, which is what we do at Grover Beach Elementary School. And over the course of about a month and a half, we had students who were raising money for the water crisis in Flint. We had students who were engaged in making connections to the community police organizations and other organizations in the Grover Beach community. We had students who were figuring out ways to give back to the school itself, like paint a mural, things like that. I could go on, but I guess what I'm getting at is the product that I always have to think of is the larger whole child. And what are they gonna do for themselves, their family, and the society at large? And I see a difference with our kids from even the time I started to now in their sort of ability to engage in that larger world.
How do you, and I'm guessing since I think you said IB has been there about 5 years?
Yeah.
So this cohort of mm-hmm, kids mm-hmm. has pretty much throughout their elementary years, mm-hmm. they've gone through the from first grade anyways mm-hmm. to sixth with the program.
Right.
How do you gauge that? I mean, there's hundreds of kids. Do you do they write a report, or does the teacher and the parents and the kids write a report? How do you know from their vantage point and blending with your judgment, how do you understand how the kid has progressed or what they've learned?
Well, the exhibition is a project that they do. So they have to have they develop their own line of inquiry, which is something that they've been exposed to kindergarten, first grade, second grade, every unit. There's six units in a year, and every unit has lines of inquiry. And from their grades six through or K through five, the teachers develop those lines of inquiry, and the students study what the teachers have decided. But in sixth grade, it kind of changes a little bit with the exhibition. They get to decide what they're going to learn about, and they get to find a way to present it to the community. And
at the beginning of the school year?
At the end.
Oh, at the end.
At the end. So this is how we can see. Uh-huh. This is their exit project. I guess you could think of it.
Unit.
Yeah, like
it's
their master's, yeah. Or their senior project of a sixth mm-hmm. grade. Mm-hmm. And within that project, one of the requirements is that they have a piece of action. That so let's say that they are taking on the issue of deforestation. They learn about deforestation. They learn about the effects of deforestation. They learn about what they can do to help. They reach out to people in the community who, like for instance, there was a group that was working with deforestation, and they reached out to the organization called One Cool Earth, who is a group of people dedicated to getting trees planted in our county. And with that organization, these four sixth grade girls got 100 trees planted within our community, which is pretty amazing. So not only do they have to show that, yes, I know how to be an independent learner, I know how to research this topic and create questions and find answers, I know how to present it to a group of parents and adults that I don't know, they're articulate in front of them, they create some kind of visual representation of their study and present it to people who come to see it. But then they take it a step further and they did something about it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just exist on a piece of paper. They went out in the community. They picked up trash on the mm-hmm. on the beach. They mm-hmm. got trees planted in the Five Cities area. They did something about it. And that's really the gestalt of IB. Is creating children. So yeah, we have all these things that they learn. We care about what they learn, but we also care about who they are and how they live in this world that's so ever-changing and getting smaller and smaller by the minute.
And just quick, I would add that, you know, certainly at the elementary school level and beyond, most schools have students that are trying to get engaged with the community around them. And it's not to say that this engagement is something that's completely new, but it is to say that through IB, it's kind of baked in. And what I mean by that is it's intentional. What I mean by that is it's not just volunteering on a weekend by itself. That's important, clearly, and it's important something that we need to make sure our students understand. But it's baked into their everyday learning at our school. It's a part of the process. And I really believe that's the way that IB sort of differentiates itself, because it becomes a part of who they are and it becomes a part of who the school is.
Interesting. This is Brian Reynolds, volunteer with the San Luis Obispo County Library for Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. Today we are joined by James Snyder, principal of Grover Beach Elementary School, and Petra Reynolds, International Baccalaureate Coordinator of Grover Beach Elementary School. How was Grover Beach, as one school within Lucia Mar, how were they chosen and why?
Well, I think like anything in education, or I guess in the business world or anywhere, in order for something to succeed, there needs to be a level of buy-in by the people that are doing that thing. And I guess what I'm getting at is at our school, it was something that the teachers were a part of choosing with the guidance of Mr. Olivaria. And the teachers were clearly a part of ensuring that IB stayed at our school. So I don't see it. I don't believe it was anything that was ever mandated. I think it was something that was suggested. And then I think as teachers learned about it, they said, wow, this is something that we need, and this is something that we need at our school. So
did the school, the teachers, the administration five, six, seven, 8 years ago, did they approach the school board and the administration of the district and ask for permission, or is that how it
I believe so. Again, I wasn't there at the mm-hmm. at the time, but the way I understand it is that it was presented as an option. And the teachers at our school, as they learn more about it, they're able to go visit IB schools and ask questions, chose to move forward with it. With full support, and I will say the support we've gotten on the front end from our district has been incredible. The support we continue to get from our district is incredible.
Yes. Grover Beach is not a rich town. Right. It is a very economically diverse town, maybe are ethnically diverse and maybe economically depressed a little bit. Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier that 40% of the student body is English learner. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty, I mean, it might be typical for an urban school perhaps, but how does that all fit together? You know, not a wealthy community, a very diverse community, a lot of Latino kids. How has that affected the evolution of IB?
It's a really, really good question. It's those that I think have heard about IB or knew IB from another part of their lives, or perhaps they went to an IB school. I think it has sort of its cachet. Perhaps would be at a private school, at a boarding school, because there are a number of IB schools, presumably that are private schools or boarding schools. And when people come to our school, we're clearly not a private school. We've been able to ensure that the students that come to our school, the English language learners from every part of the economic scale, are exposed to what we know as the best thing for kids in regards to the way we support their learning. What I'm trying to say with that is, IB should not be the reserve of a private school. IB and the way it supports our kids is something that I think more than anything our kids need. Inquiry-based learning is the way that students need to learn. It's based on constructivism. It's based on what they're interested in. It's what engages kids. And you go back to our English language learners, certainly we have many things in place to support our English language learners. They call it designated or integrated ELD. It's ways to ensure that students that are learning English are provided the opportunities to do so. But as far as, again, going back to the big thematic part of it, what really excites kids, whether or not they're English language learners, or even particularly if they're English language learners, what really is going to get them to want to get up and come to school every day and be excited about it? What's going to have them remember 10 years down the road who their teacher was and what they learned in their fourth grade year? It's being excited about school. It's wanting to learn. So to me, that's the most powerful way we can support our English language learners.
Interesting. Now, Petra, you come from, prior to Grover Beach, came from the prestigious private school in Santa Monica, Crossroads. Was IB a part of your activity there as well, or were you trained in this beforehand?
The IB organization and the Crossroads is not an IB school, but Crossroads School for the Arts and Sciences is a progressive school. And IB is a progressive philosophy of education. So my background at Crossroads School for the Arts and Sciences allowed me to develop my educator skills in inquiry, meaning I'm the teacher. I have an idea of where we're going to go, but I care about what the students think, and I care about what they want to learn about, and I let them ask questions, and I help them find the answers. I don't tell them the answers. I help them learn how to find answers on their own. And that's what it really means to be an inquiry-based school. And so my experience at Crossroads, it almost groomed me for my current position at Grover Beach. And when I found Grover Beach and I found James, I just thought, wow, this is really what I should be doing.
The definition of serendipity.
Definitely.
It was about the best hire I've ever made. I'll tell you that.
Thanks, James.
It's the truth.
People know that I was a public librarian for 40 years, and one of our challenges in the library world is to not just explain the potential and the value of libraries to people, but and broaden our customer base. I mean, the people who use libraries, the minority of the people, they get it, but most people don't. And how do you broaden your audience? How do you engage more people? And it is absolutely not by talking about all the wonderful things a library is or can do, because it's just overwhelming. I mean, on a very simple level, a library is a collection of human wisdom in different containers, books and discs and internet and so forth. The key to that, the latest wisdom shows, is to query the client or their client's caregiver, might be a parent, might be a Boys and Girls club counselor as to what the interests are of in this case kids, but it could be anybody, and then adapt a curriculum or a workshop that happens to occur in a library on how to learn more about it or read more about it. So it is very similar, the wisdom in my profession, very similar to what you're doing. You you can't just throw, you know, the whole thing at them. You have to ask first and tease out sometimes of the person what it is that moves them. Reluctant readers, same thing. They'll pick up a book and try to get through it if it's a topic that interests them. You know, whereas if they, if it isn't, then it's even all the harder.
With IB, we call that our the provocation. So it's at the beginning of every unit. It's how we really provoke students' passion about it. And again, I'll go back. I think educators across our state, across our country, across the world have tried to motivate students to learn new things and to sort of capitalize upon what their interests are. But with IB, it's a part of the framework. I mean, it's what we do. We're intentional about it. And I think it's because we know that's what's best for kids.
Does the fact, I'm going to address a particular aspect of the community in Grover Beach, where a lot of them are English learners. I understand that Grover Beach is the only school within Lucia Mar District that offers instruction in Spanish in the primary grades. Is that correct?
We have Spanish classes. So to our main language of instruction, of course, is English.
Right.
But every student gets an opportunity to learn Spanish, and if they know Spanish, to sort of perfect that.
Right. And it seems to me, I mean, it was this way when I was in school. We couldn't take a foreign language until middle school years, and I don't know if that's changed, but I've always felt that the time sort of from a cognitive point of view to start learning a language is when you're young. Younger the better, even.
That's right, and that's what the IB says, and it's part of a requirement to be an IB school is that you offer a second language.
Interesting.
That all instruction is in what they call the mother tongue, but that all students are able to learn a second language. And that's another part of IB that really is perfect for our community is that IB values multiculturalism and multilingualism. And because we are a school with lots of cultures, it's a perfect fit for us.
Yeah, the five cities is very diverse. A Filipino community, Latino community. It's a perfect place for it. Well, as we approach the end of our time together, lessons learned or some final words that you all might have.
I would just invite anyone who is listening to find more out about what we're doing at Grover Beach. We're really proud what we do at Grover Beach Elementary School. I couldn't be more proud to be the leader of the school. I support an incredible staff, and I'm lucky enough to support 500 wonderful children that come to our school every day. And I think I have the best job in the world.
And how would people do that? How would people want to learn more if they're a parent or a teacher? How would they do that?
So we do have a website. They can go through the lmusd.org and go to schools and find Grover Beach. Once you hit on the Grover Beach website, there is a video that Petra was able to put together last year that explained to them in about 3 or 4 minutes exactly what IB is.
Okay. Petra, last words.
I would say that a part about IB that is amazing for our kids is that it helps them become the kinds of students that are articulate, that communicate well, that care about the world, and hopefully will create a more tolerant and peaceful place as they grow.
Wow, what a wonderful vision. Thank you so much. This has been Brian Reynolds, volunteer with the San Luis Obispo County Library for Issues and Ideas on KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. Today, we were joined by James Snyder, principal of Grover Beach Elementary School, and Petra Reynolds, international baccalaureate coordinator of Grover Beach Elementary School. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brian.